Okay, Rabbis, today's daf is daf Nun Ches. We're starting at the very, very top of the Omid, Omer Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Eluzer. This Gemara follows the Gemara that we learned at the very end of yesterday's Blatt, where it said on the Omid Beis that Rabbi Nuna said, whoever visits Bavel should recite five brachos. So one of the brachos was that because Bavel was tremendous Rishoyim, caused so much trouble for Klal Yisrael, after that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was noikem, he took revenge against the people in Bavel, and as a result, it became totally chorv. So Rav Amnuna said that the first bracha that you make when you enter into Bavel is make a bracha, Baruch Shehechriv Bavel HaRishoah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, was machriv, the terrible people in Bavel.
What's chorv?
Destroyed.
Like Chorv Beis HaMikdash. Anyway, so now the Gemara continues on in the same vein for the next few lines. Om Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Eluzer, the top of the Amid, Niskalula, Bavel Niskalu Shechinah. When the Kadosh Baruch Hu went and cursed Bavel by destroying it, not only was it destroyed, but the effect was felt also by its Shechinim. Like Rashi says, Oy l'Rasha, Oy l'Shechinah. On the other hand, Niskal Shoimran, when Shoimran was destroyed by our enemies, by Sancheiriv and later enemies, Nisbaruch Shechinah, even though Shoimran itself, unfortunately, was destroyed, but the Shechinim still had a bracha. How do you see this? So Gemara says, we see from the pasuk, Niskal Bavel, Niskal Shechinah, when Bavel was, literally the word, Niskal, of course, means cursed, but here it means it was destroyed. How do I know that this caused also destruction and a curse for it? Shechinim, it says in the pasuk, the Samtia, the Moirish Kipoid, the Agme Moim. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to make Bavel Moirish, like from a Lashon Yerusha, Kipoid. Kipoid are bad birds. Like Rashi says, Chayos Va'oifais Roim, which not only a Mazik Bavel itself, but also all of its Shechinim. Because the birds don't just stay in one place, they fly around, and therefore they cause tzaris for Ibarul. However, Niskal Shoimran, when Shoimran was destroyed, Nisparuchu Shechinah, the Shechinim still had a bracha. It says in the pasuk, Samti Shoimran Le'iasod, I'm going to make Shoimran like piles of waste in the fields, but Le'matoi Karim, but nevertheless you'll be able to go and plant from it a Karim from vineyards. So in other words, it's not going to be total destruction. For the Jewish people, it will be total destruction. But afterwards,
but why was it cursed?
It was cursed in the sense that it was destroyed at a time even prior to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Sancheiriv took all the yin out, and that's the Aseres HaShvatim that we even don't know who they are today, and replaced them with Kusim and other Goyim. So in that sense, it was cursed that it was destroyed. Baruch Hashem today, it's having a rebirth, and Eibush Ha'Elfen that should be the Eschalta de Gula. Anyway, continuing on, now we have concluded the discussion of Bavel, and we go on to additional brachos. Rav Hamnuna, same Rav Hamnuna before, now it tells us about additional brachos. Before you talked about brachos when you enter Bavel, and now Rav Hamnuna says, Aroya Achloisi Yisrael, a person who sees a huge gathering of Klal Yisrael. We will see in the Gemara shortly that there are two major requirements and definitions of Achloisi Yisrael. Number one, we're talking about at least 600,000 people, as well as it's Mashu and the Gemara, they have to...
95 doesn't count.
Even if you add the additional Barclays and Nochatzvonzigtausend, you still got to have...
You add the internet also.
I know, the Gemara doesn't address that. So there are, if you see 600,000 Yidden together at one time, and we'll see in the Gemara, it's Mashma in Eretz Yisrael, that if you have those two requirements, you can go and make the bracha Baruch Chacham Horozim. They say that there were two recent times when one was able to make their bracha. One, there was a huge demonstration against the Supreme Court in Eretz Yisrael, made some terrible decision or whatever, talking about a few years ago. And then there was the Levaya of Chacham Ovadia Yosef, the Zatzal. They say that each time there were over 600,000 people in one place, and some people made this bracha. But continuing on, what bracha do you make? Baruch Chacham Harozen. What does that refer to? Of course, every bracha that you make is a bracha that you make to the Rabbeinu Shalom. And here Chacham means the Rabbeinu Shalom who has the wisdom, Harozen, that he knows the secrets of all of these individuals. And the Meforshim explain that there are up to 600,000 different wavelengths and approaches and thought processes that people can have. And therefore, if you have all 600,000, the Kadosh Baruch Hu knows the thought process of every one of these individuals in that area. Obviously, there are billions millions of people in this world, you would think that the other people that it's not just related to or just restrained to 600,000, it's more than that. But apparently there are 600,000 major sets of approach as how a brain works and how they would think in typical situations. And among, what did they say, the story about the Golda Meir and the President of the United States, that she said that the difference between you is you are to be the president of 250 million people, and I am the president over 5 million presidents. Because every yes, every person in Eretz Yisrael thinks that he or she could do better than the president. So presumably there are more than 600,000, but maybe there are sets and subsets. What the Gemara is telling us is if there is at least 600,000 people, then that shows the major sets of mind and thought processes of people in the world. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows all of them, because Hashem can read people's minds, and Hashem knows what's belayv kol elu, says Rashi. And so therefore, he makes such a bracha, Baruch Chacham Harazim, Hashem, who's the wise man, the wise God that knows Harazim, all the secrets in people's minds.
Why Yisrael then? Because Chacham
Next. Uchlusi Umas Oilam. What happens if you go and see a huge gathering of Goyim? Oyim, then you go and see a pasuk Boishe Imchem. Your mother is embarrassed by all of you, because unfortunately, the vast majorities of the goyim don't use their brain, but rather go and. That's fine. Tana Rabban, Haray Achlis Yisrael, Oimer Baruch Chacham Rosm, Shein Datum Doimen Zelaze, Vein Parzefeim Doimen Zelaze, because none of them think the same way and none of them look the same way, and therefore you make this tremendous bracha. Ben Zoyim Ra Uchlusa Al Gav Mal Harabayis, Beharabayis, Ben Zoyim was standing and on the Mal HaRabayis, and he saw this huge crowd. Amar Baruch Hacham Rozim, he was Mekayim, this halacha, and Ubaruch, and he added, Baruch Shebaruch Kol Eilu Lisham Shaini. As we'll see in a moment, Ben Zoyma was a wealthy individual, and what he was saying was how thankful we have to be for little things in life that we take for granted. Most people, they go into the supermarket or into a bakery. Are there still bakeries around? Yeah, some places are up. Anyway, you go and buy a bread, you buy rolls, it costs a few dollars, it costs too much, and you don't appreciate what tremendous bracha that you have, as the Gemara explains. Who are you, Aimah? Said Ben Zoyma. For Adam Arishon, there were no bakeries at the time. The reason is because they didn't have any kashrus organizations to go and give the kashrus certification. So therefore, he had to go and produce his own bread. How did he produce the bread? Chorash, he had to go and plow. And Vazora, he had to go and plant. Vekotzer, he had to go and reap and harvest. Vimer, he had to go and gather the bundles together. Vidosh, and then he had to thresh them. Vizor, he had to do the winnowing. Ubira, and then he had to go and choose between the chaff and the good. Vetochan, and then afterwards he had to do the tchini. He had to go and grind it. Vihirkin, he had to go and sift the flour. Vilosh, and then he had to go and knead the flour. Vof, and then he baked it. Viachach ochel, and finally after all of this back breaking work, Zeyas Apecha, Toychalechem, Liachach Ochel, then he was able to eat. Vani, Mashkemoitz, Kalel, Miskanul Fun. I wake up in the morning, I go next door, I pay a couple of dollars, and I get a fair tig of bread. Shee! Can you imagine what a bracha that is? Become Igiois Yoga Odom Rishon Achimotze Begit Lilboish. He couldn't just walk into a store. There were no shotness testers at the time. So therefore, he had to go and make his own begit. So what did he do? Gozas, he had to go and cut off, shear off the wool on the back of the tzoin. Veliben, he had to go and clean it. Venipet, he had to go and comb it and brush it from all of it, the entangled wool. Vetov, and then he spun it into thread. Vaorag, then he weaved it. Vetovar, and then he would go and sew it together. Viachach, motze begit, lilboish, after all of these back-breaking work, he was able to go and have a beged. Vani, mashkim moitze, kol elu mesukan l'fana. I just go to any store, I can buy easily clothing for a relatively small amount of money. Moreover, said Ben Zoyma, says Rashi, had a lot of schoira to go and sell, and as a result, he said, kol umay shoytos bois l'pesach beisi, vani mashkim moitze, kol elu l'fana. I wake up in the morning, there's already a line around the block of people that want to go and buy my schayra, and so therefore how thankful I have to be to Hashem. So getting back to originally what Ben Zoyma said, besides making this bracha, Baruch Chacham Harazim, he made a bracha, Baruch Shebaruch Kol Eilu Shamshaini, I thank you, Kadosh Baruch, for creating all of these people in this world that go and help me out on my daily basis just to go and eat a piece of bread and to be able to go and wear an article of clothing and to do business. You created all of them. Thank you very much.
So he's not thanking for the people who are waiting in line to buy his goods. He's thanking everybody else for...
He's thanking the Rabbeinu Shem Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam for creating all of these people that give me sustenance, that give me food, that give me clothing, and that give me schoir, that give me business. Who are you, Omer? Ben Zoyma said further, Eilu Oireach Toiv Mahu Omer. What does a good guest say? A good guest goes to someone for Shabbos for a meal. After he comes out, he tells people, Kama Tichas Torech Balabais Rishvili. Look at all the Tichas that he went to, or that she went to on my behalf. Kama Bosa Hebu the Fonai. Look, this delicious roast beef that they served on my behalf. Kama Yain Hebu the Fonai. Look at all the wine that was served. Kama Gluskoyes Hebu the Fonai. All these nice pastries and rolls and delicious foods. V'chom Mashu Torech. Can you imagine? Because I'm the guest, they made such a spread. Ah, Givaldik, I really am thankful to the host. But then you have another guest at that same meal who unfortunately has a different perspective. And he said, what is he matriach for me? Pas achas achalti. Perhaps I ate a little piece of a slice of bread. Chaticha achas achalti. A small piece of food, a piece of fish, a piece of meat. Kois echad shesise. I drank one kois of wine. Kol teiruch shetoruch balabai yizeh. Leiteruch el mishal ish to yubanov. He really was matriach on behalf of his family. No, in meila he threw me into the mix, but I don't really owe him any hakar satoiv. What I got, the whole thing together wasn't more than 99 cents at the deli. Gunish mit gunish. Alar erech toiv, my wine, what does it say about the erech toiv? Zachor ki sazgi pu'aloi asheshoru anoshim. He remembers, ki sazgi pu'alo, how the pu'ulois, the work that was involved, sazgi, they blossomed and they produced fruit, asheshoru anoshim, that people are singing about and saying, Lord, what a nice person this is, and look at his pu'ulois that he did for me, that's so fruitful. Etc. People are going to be fearful of him. The reason why people are going to be fearful of him is, says Rashi, says in Ois Hei, people are not going to want to get involved with a person like that because he sees that he's a kofi toiva. So whatever you're going to go and do for him, he's going, yeah, he would have done it anyway, and he doesn't really care, and he doesn't mean it, and he just has in mind his own negias. So people say, what do I need to get involved with a guy like that? I'm going to do him a toiva, and he's not going to appreciate it anyway. So people just be afraid, and they'll stay away from that type of individual. We're getting into this pasuk because we're going to continue talking about uchloisa, about having a very large crowd of people. So ish bimei shol zokin bo banoshim. This pasuk is referring to Yishai, the father of David HaMelech, and it says that he was an ish and he was a zokin bo banoshim. So Amrav v'seim rav zvid v'seim rav oishia ze Yishai avi David. The pasuk itself, the continuation, if you look at pasuk vav down below, it tells us very clearly that it's referring to Yishai. V'David ben Ish Efrasi hazeh mi beis lechem Yehudah u'shmo Yishai v'lo Yishmai Nevonim v'o Ish bimei Shaul zokim bo ba'anoshim. So v'o Ish is referring to Shmo Yishai, to Yishai, Yishai the father of David HaMelech, etc. So it's not that Rav is mechadish that Yishai avi David, but he's just using that as an introduction that Yishai avi David, he was one sheyotze ba'achloisa v'nichnes ba'achloisa v'dorish ba'achloisa. So now, this Gemara doesn't have the Likutei Rashi, but Rashi elsewhere, when he brings this Gemara, explains that David's father Yishai was a sar, and therefore he was like a general, that he went out b'chloisa with a huge garrison and a number of troops going into battle, because he was a warrior, he was a general, so he would go out b'chloisa with 600,000, come back with 600,000, but besides that he was a great Talmud Chacham, v'dorish b'chloisa. Now how do I know that from this pasuk? The pasuk doesn't say, zong l'mefarshim, because it refers to Yishai as being ish, and that reminds us of what it says in the Shira about the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem ish mulchama. So therefore ish tells us he was a warrior in battle, in having all of these troops. How do we know he was a big Talmud Chacham? Because it says he was a Zaken. And the Gemara in Kedushin tells us, Zaken stands for Zeshe Kana Chachma. So therefore, that's why he was Bob Banoshim, so great amongst humanity, amongst all the people, because he was a great warrior, as well as a great warrior in Torah, the Mechamta Shul Torah. Amaula, Nachtinan, we have a rule, Einach Lusim Bavel, like we said before, the din of making, not that there aren't 600,000 people above, you don't make a bracha on a Chloise Yehuda outside of Eretz Yisrael. In that time, that the main place where people lived was in Bavel. So he's saying, here we don't do it. Even if all 600,000 Yidden get together, we don't make that bracha only in Eretz Yisrael. And Tana, we also learn, Ein Achloise Bechus Mishishim Riba. You have to have 600,000 for purposes of making this bracha. So bottom line is, Mir Tashem, next time, when Rav Dov is going to organize over 600,000 for the Siyam Mashaz, people are going to say, let's make the bracha. We'll all have to go to Eretz Yisrael. Hopefully we'll already be in Eretz Yisrael with the coming of Mashiach.
Oh, man, that's the goal.
Tana Rabbanu. Haroye Chachma Yisrael, Oimer. Whoever sees Chachma Yisrael, he says about them, Borach Shechilek Michachmosay, Cholek Michachmosay, the Yireyev. That Kosh Baruch Hu shared his Chachma with his Yireyim, with the Chachma Yisrael. If he sees Chachma Yisrael, Oimer, Borach Shenosay Michachmosay, Lidbosay Vidam. Now, there are two major differences between the two brachas. Both brachas say Chachmosay, but the first bracha says that Kosh Baruch Hu is Mechalek, means that he shared his Chachma. And the second one says, Nosan, he gave his Chachma. First bracha says, Liyareyav, and the other, Basav Adam. So the difference between Yireyav and Basav Adam is fairly obvious. Yireyim are the people that follow Hashem and have the correct Yerushamayim, and they are the Chachma Yisrael, the Chachamim, the Tzadikim, the Goyim, the Kedoshim, the great leaders of Klal Yisrael, the great Chachamim. While by the Goyim, you're talking about the Basav Adam, they don't have to be necessarily Yireyim, just people that have great wisdom. But besides that, what's the difference between Cholak and Nosan? The Kodesh Baruch Hu has an intimate relationship with the Chachmi Yisrael as well as with Klal Yisrael generally. So Kodesh Baruch Hu shares Kaviyochel his Chachma, the Chachma Satoira, with the Chachmi Yisrael, as if they were all sitting here at the table and Kodesh Baruch Hu says, come Chachmi Yisrael, we're going to share and share alike. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't have any particular relationship with them, so he sends them by FedEx, he sends them Chachma, here's another treatise, read it, you'll become smart, you'll become brilliant, but he doesn't, yes, Reb Simcha, we were waiting for an interesting comment.
Yes. Yes. Every Moyed used to drive into from Bnei Brak to Yerushalayim. Used to see a Shvem at the Bracha, the Rabbi Yashuv, on the coastal back. So he made that Bracha. What Allah Almighty, when do you make the Bracha? When do you make it?
I'm a Chol Michamasa Libreel. Rashi on the Omid Bey says it has to be a Chakim Tutfei. In other words, not just any Chacham Yisrael has to be considered to be outstanding. I would think so, but there was a person here in Manhattan who was not from the Chacham Yisrael, and he visited Eretz Yisrael twice, we're talking about 30 or 40 years ago, and he met Rav Unterman, and since Rav Unterman at that time was the chief rabbi of Israel, and he was a great Talmud Chacham, but he was not on the level of the Chazon Ish or the Brisker Rav or any of Rav Moshe. So that individual, he made the bracha. Whether that was the correct thing to do or not, I don't know, but he felt, since he's a chief rabbi, you have to go and make the bracha on him.
Is it appropriate, for instance, I was in Eretz Yisrael 5 years ago around this time, I saw Professor Alman, who won the Nobel Prize in for his game theory, would it be appropriate if you see a chacham, not in Torah, I mean, it's a chacham in Torah also, but he's a chacham, a renowned chacham in the world for his chachma, not for
good question. You're asking, I mean, he's a chachma Yisrael, he's a Yisrael,
right,
but it's not chacham Torah.
He's
very good question. So you can make this Alan for
half. Correct. Simple. What bracha would you make? Would you say Shechalak or Shemasan?
That's a good question.
That's my question. Do you say the bracha of Shechalak or bracha of Shemasan?
You should pose this question both to a Chachmi Yisrael and a Chachmi Umasarilim and see what the response will be.
I'll see what Amit says next time I run into him.
Yeah, ask
him.
For example, it wasn't Yerushalayim, but it was a billionaire.
Yeah. Okay, anyway.
Didn't go BDS.
Someone told me, and I don't remember who told me, but he told me that somebody asked Rabbi Yashiv whether one can make a bracha on him, this bracha, and Rabbi Yashiv refused to answer, but he made the bracha, and Rabbi Yashiv said, Amen, on the bracha. So,
did he have it?
Why should he have it?
I made the bracha on Rabbi Yashiv.
You did? Very good. Rabbi Chaim did. Fine. And we continue on. So, Zokti Moravaita, so you make those two brachas. Haroya Malchi Yisrael, person who goes and sees a melech, right? We spoke about Chachmi Yisrael. Now we talk about Malchi Yisrael. Oyim Baruch Shecholik Mechvoidoi Liyareyav, not to be Mechalik the Chachma, but the Kovoid Liyareyav. Malchi Yumas Oyim, Oyim Baruch Shenos Mechvoidoi Basavadam. So the two brachas, as you see, are parallel. Rav Yochanan, Oyim Yishtadal Odom Yoret Loret, the Kraf Malchi Yisrael. This person should always run to go and see Malchi Yisrael. Why? To go and see the great Kovoid that the Kodesh Baruch Hu has allowed them to attain on this world. But by the Kraf Malchi One should also try to go to the coronation and the procession, the royal procession. Why should Yizke, if he'll be Zoicha, Mir Hashem, to the late Mashiach, Yavkin will be able to go and see the difference between Malchi Yisrael, the tremendous kavod and honor that Kodesh Baruch Hu will give to the Malchi Yisrael, as opposed to the Malchi Umas Oilam. See, Gemara tells this very fascinating story about Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes Saginor Hava, unfortunately he was blind. Hava Ka'azli, Kuli Alma Lekbule, Ape Malka. So there was one period of time where the Melech was going to visit the region where Rav Sheshes lived, and everybody wanted to go, of course, to the procession, based on our Gemara. The Kom Ozel Badayu Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes also got up to join the masses to go and see the Melech Umasoyla. Ashkehu Tzadaki, there was a Tzadaki over there, who was, as you'll see, a very nefarious type of character. Omalei, and he said to Rav Sheshes in a very degrading way, Chatzvi Lenahara, of a Kikagni, Laya. Chatzvi explains Rashi means full buckets, full in the sense that they are complete in construction, they're not broken. Lenahara, I can understand why you would take a bucket like that to the Nahar to go and draw water. That makes a lot of sense. A bakagni, Rashi says, means broken buckets. Laya, where would you take it to? Are you crazy to go and take a broken bucket to the water? You'll take it to the Nahar, you'll fill it up, and by the time you bring it home, there won't be any water left because of the leak. It'll all spill out. So in other words, all the rest of us that have eyesight, it makes sense for us to go to the procession, but you don't see anything. Exactly. So Amalei Rav Sheshes says, Tochazi, you'll see. Diadana Tvei Minach, I understand what's going on more than you. You'll see. Okay, so they're standing there online watching the parade. Cholav Gunda Kamaisa, the first group of troops, and the Rashi says Kat, the first group passed. Whenever you have a military parade or you have a procession, so you always have a group coming first. So you have the first group of soldiers or whatever went up front. Ki Avsha, after they passed, there was a lot of noise. It's Omalei Hahut Sadoiki. Oh! Asa Malka, it must be the Melech is coming, that's why you hear all that noise now. Amar Rav Sheshes, you don't know what you're talking about. Like Asi, he's not coming yet. Cholav Gunda Tinyana, oh, so now a second group passed by. Kiko Avshan, after they passed by, there was a loud noise. Amar Yud Tzadoiki, Hashtag Asi Malka, oh, the Melech is about to arrive. Amar Rav Sheshes, like Asi Malka, the Melech Kimnish. Cholav Tlisoi, now a third group passed by. Kiko Shaska, now everything quieted down. Amalei Rav Sheshes, Vade Hashta Asi Malka, oh, the Melech is coming now. Amalei Yud Tzadoiki Min Alechoha, you don't even see what's going on. How do you know? Amalei, the Malchusa, the Araka, and Malchusa, the Rekia. The Malchus down below over here is like the Malchus upstairs in Shemayim. In which respect? The Sif, it says in the Pasik. Sif, Amalei to Behar Lefnei Hashem. Vinei Hashem, Oiver Hashem is passing by. Veruach Gedoyle V'chozek Mefarik Horem U'meshabr Sloim Lefnei Hashem. And as Hashem is going to pass by, there was a Ruach Gedoyle, these tidal winds. The Chozek so strong, Mefarik Horem, which can go and break apart boulders and major mountains, Shabbos Sloim and breaking Sloim and the boulders Lefnei Hashem before Hashem. Loi Baruch Hashem. Don't think that Hashem is in this major tidal wind, storm wind. No. Hashem is not there. V'acha Ruach, after the Ruach passes Rash, and you hear this Koy Rash Godoy. Loi Barash Hashem. Hashem is not there either. V'acha Rash Eish, after the Rash, then a fire passes through. Loi V'esh Hashem. Hashem is not there. V'acha Eish, Koyul de Momadaka, then things quiet down, and then that's when Hashem appears and goes through. Ah, same thing over here. You heard all of this, these garrisons of troops that went by, and then you heard this rash. Loi, loi, the Melech is not there yet. When you hear the Kol de Momadaka, now when things are silent, oh, now the Melech is about to arrive, because the Malchus, the Arizke, and Malchus, the Rekia. Yasa Malka and the Melech passed by. Pasuk Hashesh's Makom Avorach Lei, Rav Sheshes made the bracha that we just said now, that Baruch She Nosa Mechvoidai Lebasa Vedam. Become a varchle. It's Amalei Hu Tzadoiki. The Mandalei Chazes Lei Kam Avorches. You're making a bracha to someone that you don't even see. You don't even see this king, and you're making such a bracha. Okay, that's the end of the first part of the story. Whatever happened with this tzedoki, at some subsequent time, presumably unrelated to this story, chavroi, his own chaverim kachlinu, the literal type of kachlinu means to go and apply cosmetics to the eye, but here it means it in a much worse sense. If you look at Rashi at the very top of the left-hand margin, kachlinu le'ena nokru le'ena, that his chaverim went and poked out his eyes.
Mida k'negin mida.
Exactly. The Kediyama, there's another version, Rav Sheshes nosen ena bay. This is, of course, a euphemism.
Yes.
Rav Sheshes couldn't give nosen ena bay, but it means he gazed at him, he looked in his direction, and then he became just a pile of bones. Either way, he had a very misa,
tragic ending.
A tragic ending, not to say. Reb Shila Nagda Kav. So now we're going to talk about another fascinating story involving Reb Shila. Reb Shila Nagda Lu Gavra. He went and gave Pech, meaning he gave a Malkis to a person, the Boal Goya, that went and lived with a Goita. Ozal Ochel Bekurtzi Bimalka. The expression Ochel Bekurtzi Bimalka means that he was Malshin, that he went and said, now he told informed. Over to the. What?
He informed.
But it's not just giving information, it's also tattling and.
Ratting out. That's the best word, ratting out.
Ratting out. Okay, whatever term you like, but he was now telling bad stuff. In fact, you have the same expression, Kurtzi Bimalka, in the Masechta Gittin, when I was learning my son. Been seeing yesterday, he pointed out that in Maseches Gittin, when we talk about Kamtza Bar Kamtza, he also tattletailed the Kurtzi Bemalka and complained because he hadn't been invited. To snitch. Oh, he snitched. Anyway, so this fellow who was the victim of the patch given by Rav Shila, who had been boil goita, he snitched now to the Melech. Omar, and he said, Ikachad Gav B'Yidoy, this one man among the Jews, the Kodai in Dina B'Lei Hormana, that he is going and exerting judicial discretion and making judicial decisions without the authority of the king. This the loy human of the Malka, without the authority of the king. So when the king, of course, heard that, he was upset, and he went and sent after him some court officer to grab and bring Reb Shila in front of him. Kiyasa, when he came in front, Amrelei, Ma'atam and Agnesulamai, Lahai, why did you go and give Malkis to that fellow? Amalhu, Debo al Chamrisa, because he lived with a female Chamar. With a female donkey. Amrilei, is the chasadi, do you have any proof? Do you have any evidence? Amlo, sure. In. At that moment, Osaliyah came down, Idmilek Inish, and he went and he appeared to be like a regular individual. He didn't have a sign, I'm Eliyahu HaNavi. He looked like a regular person. The Asin, and he testified that in fact that fellow lived with a female chamar. Amrilei. Ihachi said the king, if that's the case, Bark Tolu, he's not just a person that should be, should get bad, she should be killed. That's bestiality. I mean, soon America's probably going to be permitted. Probably there'll be the 30th Amendment to the Constitution.
Happiest day of his life.
Yeah. Anyway, but the Masa, at that time, at least they were still sane, and they said he's a Bark Tolu. It's Omalahu, so. They were telling now Rav Shila, why didn't you go and kill him? Why did you only give to him patch? From the day that we were sent into Golis, less on Rishus and Mikdal, we've lost our authority to go and kill people. Atun might be in to be isun avidabe. But of course, you should do whatever you think is proper. After all, you have the judicial authority. I don't. So if you think you should.
Did he have the right to give him patch?
We're not finished. Adam Ainibe Bedina. As it would be ma'ayin in the ganze din, where the yot finished, Pasach Reb Shila v'Yomar, Reb Shila said, Oh, Rabbi Nishal Mechoashem, Hagdula, Vagvura, Vateferes, Vaneitzah, Vahoik, Chobashmaim, Vavaret, etc., etc., like we say every day in Vayvarach Tovid. And we're going to see at the bottom of the Gemara, Reb Shila is going to touch every single one of these words to give it much more profound meaning. So says the Gemara, Amri Lei, my comrades, hey, what are you saying over there? We see that you're davening the Chashem. What are you saying? What I'm saying is, Baruch Rachman, I'm thanking Hashem. Do you have Malchus B'Ara, who gives a Malchus down in this world? Can Malchus D'Rekia, similar to the Malchus D'Rekia, that what V'yov L'chu Shultona V'rach Medina. That Hashem has given you good judges and good judicial discretion, and I see that you're doing what you're supposed to. So up in Shemayim, they set it up beautifully. Amru, so they said about him, Chaviva Le'yakad Malchus Kolihai. Look what honor and glory he gives to our Malchus and to our judicial tribunals. Yehavale Kulfa, they said, you know what, as a souvenir, we're going to go and give you a Langeshtekin. Kulfa, you see, Taprashi says, a Makal Lirdois. We had the expression Kulfa a couple of days ago in the Gemara, when it spoke about that Rava saw turnips in his dream, and then Barhed, you said, that means you're going to go and get klep from a Kulfa, from the Shtekinis, because these sticks at the end of it has like a round ball, which make them particularly painful and particularly dangerous.
It's in pain for the interpretation.
That's true. You're 100% correct. Omrule, and they said to him now, Doin Dina, go ahead and be done then. So he have enough as he, Reb Shila, is leaving now the judicial court and the Melech, and he's going home. Omli Ugavris, and now that original victim, that fellow that had lived with the goita, said to him, Ovid Rachman and Nisa L'Shakri, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes and makes a miracle for Shkarim, it's fake news. You know I didn't live with a female Chamor, I lived with a goita, so Hashem goes and helps you out and sends you a Eliyahu HaNavi. the Shakri Yachi is Amalei Rasha Lav Chamri Ikri. Don't you know that the Goyim are called Chamoyim? Not all the Goyim, but some Goyim are called Chamoyim. The Chassidus in the Pasuk Shem Besar Chamoyim Besarim. Particularly about the Mitzriim, is a pasuk that refers to them that the flesh of the Mitzriim, of the Egyptians, is just like the flesh of Chamoyim. And so therefore, if you lived with that type of Egyptian woman or someone from that family, etc., it's as if you lived with a Chamor. So all I did was, I euphemistically was quoting that pasuk when I said that you lived with a female Chamor. So then Reb Shila saw that this fellow wanted to also snitch and go back to the Melech and say that the Karinu Chamri, he's calling all of you a bunch of Chamorim. It's Omar, Hayroidifu, he is a Roidif, he's going to cause me Tzuris. When you see a roidif, if he wants to kill you, you're allowed to go and preventively go and kill the person in self-defense. He now used that kulfa, that brand new tool that he had just received. He gave him pech, oh, and the person died. Omar. And therefore,
you kill him anyway.
The problem was you weren't there because I know you're a kanoi, the chol dvar Hashem, you would have done so. However, Reb Shila was not a kanoi, he was just a judge. And as a judge, the judges outside Eretz Yisrael do not have the authority to go and administer the Arba Mises Besen. So that's why Reb Shila says that since we went into Golis, we lost that authority.
But even Malkus, we had that.
Apparently, either he had that authority, maybe initially, or the Gemara says that when you see that that there's unfortunately society is falling apart and people are not behaving the way they're supposed to, then outside Rosh Hashanah, sometimes they're allowed to go and do things which are extrajudicial, if you will. Anyway, can you imagine what Reb Shila would be doing nowadays when they have presidential candidates, Mishka Zuchanix and all the rest? Was up there?
He gave him a rod.
Yeah, was up there?
Being with an animal is not Hayav Nisa.
Yeah.
Sure it is. Pasuk in Kesoyim says, yeah.
But he was with a goy.
Yes, a behemoth taroigo, and you got to kill the behemoth.
But with a goy, it's not Hayav Nisa. I mean, with a goy.
With a goya, if he lived with a goya?
Yeah.
Is he Chayav Misa?
Yeah, not for that act, but he was Chayav for being a Rodef.
No. Yeah, a Rodef for sure.
Yeah, but he caused him to become a Rodef.
He didn't cause, he chose to be. He didn't accept his punishment. He chose, people choose their actions.
Yeah.
He chose to now go and snitch, and not to threaten to snitch again on Rav Shila, and have Rav Shila killed. So that was a separate thing.
Exactly. Anyway. So it said, now Reb Shila, Hoyul, Nisabli, Nisem, Baruch Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu made Nisim for me, by Kra, with this pasuk which I recited, the Lecha Hashem Gdula, the Rishon Lei, so I'm going to go and darshan in each one of the words what the significance is. And therefore, Lecha Hashem Gdula is Umas of Rishis. How do I know this Mas of Rishis? It says, Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, Oysi Gedolgas Adin Cheker, Nisim of Lois Adin Mispar, that was the Oysi Gedolgas, the creation of Shemayim V'aretz, that's Gedula. V'hagvur is Yitzis Mitzrayim, Shinem. Even though the word Gevura is not used in this pasuk, however, anytime you use the term Yad Hagdoyla, what do you mean the great hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We mean his Gevura, we mean his might. So therefore the Gevura is referring to the Yad Hagdoyla, Asher Os Hashem Mitzrayim, Vayimina Hashem Moshe Avdi, Oz Yosha, we're talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim. V'atiferes Zu Chama Ulevona She'omduloi Yeshua. When Yeshua was Mispal, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the nest, Shenem Av Yidam Hashemesh V'yireach Omad, and that became the Tiferes, it became worldwide, everybody knew, that Yeshua did this nest through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it through Yeshua, and therefore Tiferes, the glory of Hashem, shone. Vaneitzach zuma pelosa shol roimi. This is the nitzachon against roimi v'chein roimer v'yeis nitzchem al begodai, that we had the nitzachon against the malchus roim. V'hoid zuma lchemes nalchli arnoin. We spoke about that a couple of days ago back in the Gemara. Shenemar al ken yomar b'seif mchamas Hashem as vohi v'sufa. Remember there were two mitzrayim. One was called Es, the other was called Hev, and the Es and the Hev, they were after. I'm sorry?
Saw the blood flowing down.
They saw the blood flowing down, and they told Klal Yisrael, the tremendous nisim that Hashem made in the Nachli Arna. Kichol b'ashamayim uvaret, zu mechemes Sisra. What does that have to do with Sisra? Shem, it says, min ha-shamayim nilchamu ha-kecham m'msiloysam. This is the mechama of Barak and Dvoira against Sisra. Shira's Dvoira. And what happened? So they said in that Shira that not only did we have the troops down here, but Kadosh Baruch Hu sent kecham m'msiloysam from their heavenly paths down below to go and help out in this mocham. That's kichol b'shemayim uva aretz. The kichom from the shemayim were also lochem. L'chol shemam amlocha zu mochem esamolik. V'chein huoy mikiyot al keiska How do I know mamlocha has to do with case? Ka explains Rashi, because case is referring to the kisei, and in kisei shalom, so of course a throne that's that manifests, that reflects malchus, so that's the hamamlocha, at chashem mamlocha is referring to the kisei at the Muhammad Samolik in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua, etc. Vam misnasi zu Muhammad's goig umogig, v'chein roim yitzel debasi neilecha, goig nasi roish meshech v'suval. It says in the Pasuk that Goig is going to be the Nasi, and that's going to be the Muhammad with Goig and Mogoig. Here you have Goig. Misnasi is related to the word Nasi, and therefore Misnasi means that Kadosh Baruch eventually is going to conquer that major war right before Mashiach comes, and Goig and Mogoig. Amr of Chanan Barova, Amr of Yochanan, Afilu Reish Gargita Min Shemaya Manulei. Even a person who has a lowly executive position, even that is appointed by a Kadosh Baruch. Now, what means a gargita? So if you look at the last Rashi here on the Omer, on the left-hand side, Reish gargita means the person who's in charge of the boyer. Hamamuna ala choifrim chafirois lemalois and mayim kidei lehashkes behen, so they say. You have a group of farmers, and you have one boyer. The boyer does not have enough water to irrigate all the farms on a daily basis. So you have to have a rotation. Yankel is going to go and draw water from the boyer on Sunday. Beryl is going to draw on Monday. Shmerel is going to draw on Tuesday. And so on and so forth. So somebody has to be in charge to make sure that they all do what they're supposed to. In other words, the gaba of the irrigation of the boyer. So that's what Rashi says. Hamamuna, the ones in charge, are the choifrim, chafiris, those that dig out the irrigation canals, the malois and the mine to go and fill them with water from the bark, the hashkas and so to say, and to irrigate their fields. So even that Reish Gargisa is appointed by Hashem. How does that get into the Gemara? Because we finished off Hashem Hamlocha, Pamisnasi, L'choil L'roish. L'choil L'roish means for every job that has a position of authority, even that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're in charge, even of that, Reish Gargita Min Shemaya Manulei, it wasn't, even though it's the people of the farmers that they probably raised their hands and voted who's going to be in charge, it's really HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one ultimately in charge. So with the Allah voting, with the Allah campaigns, with the Allah primaries, ultimately whoever's going to be president, it's going to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu that appoints him. Even if he loses the popular vote, he'll get the electoral vote. Kadosh Baruch Hu will do what we got to do. Masis Son, it says in the Braisa, Mishmei de Reb Akiva, he also dies in the Slacha Hashem Hagdula, but the Gemara doesn't go through all the psukim, unfortunately, but at least it gives us a little bit of a glimpse how Reb Akiva darshaned it, or the Tana Mishmei de Reb Akiva, Lacha Hashem Hagdula Zekriyas Yamsif. That's very easy because it says, Vayar Yisrael Asiyad Hagdula, so that the Gdula is referring to Kriyas Yamsif. Vagvurizim Makas Bechoyres, when the Kadosh Baruch Hu tzeshmet all the b'chayrus in Mitzrayim, v'atzveres of Matan Torah, oh, the glory and the majesty of giving the Torah, v'neitzos Yerushalayim, v'hoidzu beis hamikdash, and that's how we dash that passing to the Moravite. We go back to brachos. Tana Rabbanu Roya Bat Yisrael b'yishuvon, if he sees Bat Yisrael that have been restored to their original glory. So Rashi explains, for instance, after the Churban Bayis Rishon, when everything was destroyed in Eretz Yisrael, and then 70 years later they came back to Eretz Yisrael, and then they, Baruch Hashem, were able to restore the Alta Batim. What happens? You make a bracha, Oimer Baruch Matziv Gevul Almana. Matziv Gevul Almana means the Gevul that was an Almana until now. Why would Eretz Yisrael be called Almana? Because this is just paraphrasing the first pasuk in Eicha, Eicha Yoshev Vodod, Oira Basiyam. So therefore, Gans Yerushalayim, Nebuch was Nebuch like an almana, but now the times of the second base of Midrash, Rashi says, "V'yishabayisheni," that the Bat Yisrael are back together. V'yishuvan, oh, Kadosh Baruch has been matziv; he has reestablished the gvul, the borders and the boundaries of what at one time was an almana not too long ago. But Baruchabanan, if you come onto the scene after the Churban Beis Midrash, Nechum Yerushalayim, Omer Baruch Tainu Emes. On the other hand, if you see the bottom of Goyim Yishuvan when they're established, Oimer Beis Geyim Yisach Hashem. These, the houses of the Geyim, of these very, very proud and arrogant and brazen people, Yisach Hashem, Hashem should cut them down and should go and uproot them and should, what do they say, by the tree. You're cutting out the roots.
Extra,
whatever. Any one of those words. Finished. Yisach Hashem. Rechabanan Oimer. Kein lekomis Hashem. Kein lekomis Safiya. when you see the Chorban of their Batim, then you say, oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has exercised his vengeance against the Umas HaOlam. Ula and Rav Chisda Azli Baruch Ula and Rav Chisda were traveling together. Imoto apischa debei Rav Chana Bar Chaniloi. We're going to see in a moment Rav Chana Bar Chaniloi was a very, very great Baal Tzedakah. And unfortunately, when they're coming by their Pischa, we're talking about after this house was destroyed as a result of many of the Chorbanis. So the Gemara tells us they were passing by this Pesach or Rav Chana Bar Chaniloi. Noger Rav Chisda V'asnach. Rav Chisda gave a very, very deep sigh and a deep krecht when he saw that house. Amali Ulis said to him, Amaykam Mestachas, why are you giving such a deep krecht? When you give such a deep sigh, that can go and kind of destroy or break half of the guf of a person. Shnem Aviata ben Odom, he onach, if you give a krecht, b'shivrin masnaim, you are going and making a shever, you're breaking the loins, which is halfway down the body. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Af Kol Gufay Shalad, me give such a sigh, the whole body becomes like destroyed or broken. Shenema Vayikiyem Reilech Al Mu'ata Neenach. Why are you sighing? V'yamarta El Shmua Kibo. I heard this terrible, terrible Shmua. Benomis Kolei Benemach. Every heart is melting. So you see that there's a connection between the Anocha, between the sigh, and the whole lave, which represents the whole body, is Nebach falling to pieces. So that's what Ula asked of Chisda. So Chisda said, Amalei Hechli Asnach. How can I not sigh? Don't you remember, base of this house, to have a bashitan afiyasa biyamama. They had daily 60 bakers working full time during the day. Bashitan afiyasa b'layla, and 60 bakers working full time at night. The afyon, and they would bake lechol man de tzarech. Any person came by, everybody got. And with kiyada gadol, v'loy shakli yoda min kisa, and Reb Chana ben Chaniloi was particularly, he always had his hand in his wallet, in his pocket. The sovar dilma osi ani bar toivim. Maybe a psachosh of ani is going to come by, and v'atamotel le kisa. Before I put my hand into my pocket, kamichsev he'll be embarrassed. So that's why I wanted to have the cash already in my hand. As soon as I greet him, I'll be able to put the cash in his hand, even before he realizes what I did, so he won't have to never be embarrassed. V'su have a psichin le arba bovi. The Arba Ruchsa di Alma, like Avram Avinu's oil, was open on all four sides. For Chol Dava Ayil, coffin, whoever came in hungry, Nafik Yisavea, he went out fully satisfied, fully satiated. Vavishodule, Chite Vesari, Bishne Betzoiris Avroi. They would go and open up the doors and the windows, and they would throw out stalks and kernels of wheat and of barley out the door onto the grounds outside the house during the years of famine. That anybody that was embarrassed to come in during the day and ask for a free meal, also b'shakal b'layla, and the dark of night, he was able to collect together the chitim asoidim and bring it home to his family for food. Hashta nofel bitila, look at this beautiful home that did so many mitzvahs. It's fallen nebuch into a heap. Tloy asnach, shouldn't I go and sigh? Amalei, so Ula told him back, Hachi Amar B'yochanan, Mishem Shechor Beis HaMikdash, Nigzer Gzeira Batein Shel Tzadikim Sheyecharvu. Just like a Kodesh Baruch Hu gave a Gzeira that the Beis HaMikdash should be Charv, unfortunately the Batein Shel Tzadikim are also Charv. Shenem B'bi Ozni Hashem Tzvokis, Em Loi Batim Rabim L'shamo Yiyu, they'll never be for Shemomim for destruction. Gedoylim V'toyv Me'en Yoyshim, nobody will inhabit them. So unfortunately that's Gzeira of Hashem. But there's good news. Because the same Rabbi Yochanan said, "Yom Rabbi Yochanan, also Kadosh Baruch Hu achzir liyeshuvan. Kadosh Baruch Hu will eventually cause them to be re-inhabited." Shenema, Shira Malas David, Haboitchem Hashem ki Harzion, Maharzion, also Kadosh Baruch Hu achzir liyeshuvai. Just like eventually, Beis Hamikdash will be restored. Abateim Shlo Tzadikim, also Kadosh Baruch Hu achzir liyeshuvan. So Metz Hashem, Bikar of Mamish, it'll all be restored. So don't be so sad. Don't give such a deep krachts. Chazia Deloy Miyash V'Daiti. He saw that he still was not happy, and he still couldn't come back to himself. He was still Nebuch in mourning of this terrible, tragic destruction of the home of Rav Chana Bar Chaniloi. Amalei, he said to him, Dai li Eved Shehi Karabai. Why don't you remember that the Eved, meaning Rav Chana Bar Chaniloi, he's no worse than his own Rebbe. Meaning his own Rebbe had this beautiful Beis HaMikdash, this beautiful mansion, this beautiful palace down below, and it's in destruction. So Nebuch, his house is also in destruction. So therefore, don't krechts more than for his house than you would have for the Beis HaMikdash. Every day for the Beis HaMikdash, you're mispal and you feel bad and you're, but you know, you don't give such a deep sigh. Don't get carried away. That's what Ula's message was to Rav Chisda. There's a famous story of the, I forget now the name, maybe one of you remember the name, the governor of Jerusalem or of Palestine during the between the first World War War and the second.
Sir Herbert Samuel visited the
Samuels. Samuels went. Thank you very much. He was visiting. He asked. He wanted to have an audience with the chief rabbi of the ultra orthodox community. The one that was the chief rabbi of the general community, of course, was Rabbi Cook. But who was the of the ultra orthodox? That was Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. So he wanted to meet with Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, and they made up. They're going to meet at Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld's house. Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld's home was in the old city in the Eir Atikah, and at that time, of course, this was before the establishment of the new state of the Medina, and therefore people were able to live and go in the Eir Atikah. Anyway, so he had a home, and his home was in a basement. And to get down into the basement, you had to go down steps, and those steps were rickety steps, and you had to be afraid that you would fall down the steps because they were so broken. So Herbert Samuels came together with him into his home, and as he goes into the home, he sees that it's barren from any normal furniture. All the chairs are broken, and the table looks like it's from the times of Churban Beis Hamikdash. The thing really looked terrible. And he said to him, Rabbi, you're the chief rabbi of this whole community. How can you live in such poverty? How can you live in such dire circumstances? So he said, come with me. And he opened up the shutters to his windows. And in back you can go and see the Koisel and the remnants of the Beis Hamikdash, the Rome of the Dak, the Rome, whatever it happens to be called. Anyway, so he told him, how can you expect that my home should look any nicer, any better from the home of my God? My home of my God is in destruction, so my home can't be any nicer. But Herbert Samuel heard that and saw that. He was so moved, he said, Rabbi, it was really nice meeting you. And the meeting ended, and he left.
He was actually Jewish, Samuel.
Okay. Jewish. So I guess he appreciated what the rabbi had to say. And we continue on. Turn around. So that's what Ula was saying. The Rabbi Chanan bar Chiloi's house can't be any better than the Kodesh Baruch Hu's house. Turn around, Aroi Kivri Yisrael, Oimer, if you see Kvarim, this will be annoying today, when you go into a Beis Chaim, you make the following, Baruch, Baruch, Ato Hashem, etc. Ashiyotzer Eschem Badin, Vezon Eschem Badin, Vechilkol Eschem Badin, Vosof Eschem Badin, Vosof Lahakim Chem Badin, but we're not finished yet. Marbarei Ravinu, Mislayim Bam, Mishmeder of Nachman, Viyadeh Mispakul Chem Badin, Vuhos Lahakyoizchem, Vilakayim Eschem, etc. etc. Baruch Machai Yemesim, which is basically the Baruch that we make when we go into the Kibri Ovdechom Oimer. This is the same bracha that we had on the Yom Bet Aleph. Not a bracha, but he says this pasuk: Boish Imchem. Your mother's ashamed of all you guys lying here in the cemetery. Amr Rabbi Shimon Levi. Haroy Yeschem Elachas Loishem Yoyim. A person sees his friend after 30 days. Oimer Baruch Shechian Vikimanu Yigano Lazman Hazeh. Lachas Yimasa Chodesh. Oimer Baruch Machayim Meisim. People ask, how come we're not knowing this today? But bear in mind, when you didn't see a person for 30 days or for a year, years ago, you had no idea whether he was still alive or not alive. Today, you send an email, you send them a text, you call them on the telephone, you know somebody else who lives right next door. I mean, the communications are not what they are today. So therefore, Yitaka didn't know what happened to that person. So you saw him after 30 days. Yeah, uncle, I haven't seen you for 30 days. Baruch Shechiyam, etc. What are you referring to? The Ashiyotzer Eschem Adin? Yes. When you go to Beis Chaim after 30 days, if you haven't been there for 30 days, you make that bracha.
That's what you say. Yeah.
Anytime you go to a Jewish cemetery and you haven't been there for 30 days, not that particular. If you haven't been to any Beis Chaim within the last 30 days, and now you go to Beis Chaim, you're supposed to make this bracha. And most Jewish cemeteries, there's a placard in front of the, there's a sign in front with the name. Anyway, with the bracha. And if you're taking along a tilim or you're taking along one of these things that you say for shloishim or for a yard site, they typically have it printed at the very beginning of the booklet. If you want, I'll show it to you afterwards in a second. The reason why, well, we had the 12 months, and now he's talking about a mess, that a mess after 12 months, people begin to forget about him. That's why the principle of Elis is the first year, because after the first year, the memories start eroding, start drifting, and it's no longer fading. That terrible, sorry?
Fading.
Fading. So it's not that terrible tragedy that was initially. And the Gemara called to the Pasuk says, Kichli Oyved. So Rashi reminds us in the Masechtas Bava Metzia, it says that if you find an Aveda and you machriz each time by all Shalosh Shagolim, and you put up signs, and you go to the Eben Atoin in Yerushalayim, and says, Rabbeisai, I found a shirt. It doesn't belong to anybody. You say it three times, three Regolim, a year passes, nobody claimed it, then Shuv Einet Zerch Lachriz. Why? Because after a year, it's considered to be totally ovud. So just like the kli oivet, same thing applies to the mace nishkachem and the lathe. Talk to me about it.
It's different from yush. Yush is is a shorter period of time?
No, the Yush, we're talking Rashi, in fact, the first two Yush.
If you
want to go on through the Rashi, second line, Kichli Oyved, all the way on top, Vestam Kli, the Acha Yud Beis Chodesh, Mishtakach Men Halev, the Yush Balam, the Acha Yud Beis Chodesh. Yush Balam, it's now signed and sealed. If after 12 months nobody claimed it, it's a done deal, you keep it. Back to the Gemara. Rapapa Rabbuna Bnei Yeshua HaBekazi Ba'orcha. Rapapa Rabbuna Bnei Yeshua, we're traveling together. Pogu Beib Rav Chanina Barei Dravika. This is going to have, unfortunately, a tragic ending. It's a beautiful story, but ends off on a very, very tragic note. They met Rav Chanina Barei Dravika. And Rav Chanina Barei Dravika was a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Choch. It's Omrulei. They said to him, Padre de Chazinach, when we saw you from afar, we saw you already from a block away. When he started seeing you, Barachin and Allah, we made a brach about you, Tarti. Two brachas. Baruch Hashem Cholak Michachmasak Direyev, because you're a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and Vishachyana, because we haven't seen you already for at least 30 days, so we made the two brachas. Omaluz, he said to them, Ano Nami, Kimin de Chazinchu, when I saw you a block away, Chashav Tinchu Eloi, I looked at the two of you as being such great Talmid Chacham, Rav Papa, Ravuna Bered Rav Yeshua. We had yesterday's Gemara that Rav Papa became the Rosh Hashiva, Ravuna Bered Rav Yeshua was the Reish of the Kala, so therefore they're also these two great giants in Torah learning. I considered you to be Keshit and Rivvan Beis Yisrael, like 600,000. Why did I think you're like 600,000? Because the whole Indian 600,000 we said on the Amud Aleph is because Hashem sees the thought processes and the inner thoughts of the 600,000, and you too, you have such an approach to Torah that you can have 600, you can go and dash in the Torah in 60 different ways. You can dash in the Torah in 600,000 different ways, because each one of you has the collective knowledge of 600,000 approaches how to understand, interpret, and elucidate the Torah. So therefore, I made three brachas, t'losa. Hanach Tarti, the two that you made, that was the Shecholik Mechachmas Aliyarev and Shechiyanu, and I made a bracha Chacham Harozim as if there were 600,000 people standing here. So I made three brachas. Amrulei, they said to him, Chakim is Kuli, hi, you're such a Zagreis Chacham, you have a Be'enayu, and then they looked at him, Vishachim, and unfortunately he passed away. So I said there's a tragic ending. The question is, why did he have this tragic ending? So that's already, Rashi doesn't address it. There are a number of different pshatim in the Achroinim. One of the pshatim is, push it because of Ein Hara. Anytime a person does something which is so outstanding and therefore it draws attention, that also attracts the evil eye of evil demons and all that. So they were mekan him, boy, wow, such a chacham, he said three brachas, etc. So because of that Ein Hara, that's why he passed away. Others say the reason is because even though he was talking such a grace of chacham, however, he wasn't the Rav, and therefore he shouldn't be paskining on such shailas without asking them first, and so therefore he was like a moir b'malchus, moir Rav b'fnei Rabbi. Anyway, a whole bunch of reasons are given why he passed away, but that's the tragic ending of the story, and we continue on. Om Rav Shumalei, Haroyes HaBoyakon. Boyakon means a person that walks around with spots, and in particular, as we'll see, these are spots the size of lentils. If you look at Rashi Boyakonim, second narrow line, lintishosh, or whatever that means, it probably means lentils, ke'adashim, like lentils. So a person has small spots like lentils. Oymi, you say about such a person, baruch mishana abriyas. That's the bracha you make on him. Meisve, I'll ask you a kasha. Ro'es akushi, if a person sees a black fellow. V'yas a gichor, he sees a person with a red complexion. V'yas a lavkan, a person who is a very white complexion. What do they call that?
Albino.
You see an albino. V'yas a kipach. Now, kipach is an interesting thing. Rashi says, a kippach means that something is cut off, and it's as if this person's head is cut off. Why? Says Rashi, bitnei gadol. He is so obese. Mitoich oivyoi nearest kemos mikopachas. You don't see the neck. You don't even see the head. The head is like a small little bean on top of this huge, huge structure, this huge body. So that's why he's called a kippach. Vias ananas. Or if you see nebuchadnezzar, vias hadrach hanikus. Nebuchadnezzar, Rashi says a roidosh, whatever that means. Lashon acher piv. I'm sorry. With warts. Yeah. Lashon acher piv akum. But there's another pshat as well. You see this hadrachnikus. We have an aleph. The aleph. I'm sorry.
Cleft lip.
He's a Catholic?
Cleft lip.
A cleft lip. That's the second pshat of Rashi. Rashi says that he has a cleft lip, piv okum. But down below you have the Hagoyes Tzionim, the Aleph, by Technikas, Pirish, Goin, Shu Ish, Shekan Mose, Arucha, Yois, and Mishar Ben Yodim. He's a very, very tall person.
Yeah, basketball player.
Yeah, but it's more than just a basketball player, but it's also that the rest of the body is not proportionate to his great a height that they say in Yiddish he's alanga loksh, which means he's like 7 feet, but then you would expect him to be, you know, 300 pounds to come fill in the frame. And if the person is 7 feet tall and only 150 pounds, then he looks like he looks very, very
big
unusual.
Noodle, big noodle.
A big noodle. Oh. So about all these people, you say Baruch Mashana Bris. Esakitea, a person Nebuch whose hands have Nebuch been severed, he's been amputated. V'es Asuma Nebuch, a person who's blind. V'es Petuya Roish. Petuya Roish, says Rashi, means that his hair is netted together like that of felt. And that you see by, you don't see it so much by the white people, you see it by the Schwarzes, that they have this, the hat is, the hair is matted together. V'es Achiger, and a person Hinkadike, that means a person who's lame. V'es Amukashchin, Nebuch, a person has all types of boils over him. Yeah, yes, Bayakonim. Oh, the Bayakonim, that guy that has these spots on him. You make a bracha, baruch tain emes. Sreit imar, it's chastira. Before you said a Bayakonim, these people that have all the spots, baruch b'shan, abriyas. And now you say baruch tain emes. And in fact, if you look at this list of items that we just had, all these interesting differences, the first group are all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that way. The person was born black. He didn't start off white and then he turned black overnight. And he was born red. He was born an albino. I'm sorry?
Only Michael Jackson went from black to white.
He did? Yeah, okay. Who was Michael Jackson? he ran for president or something, no? He
was Jesse Jackson.
No, cousin of his, probably. Okay, Nishkan Afkiman. He was a reverend. He came to Kabbalah show? As a black or as a white?
Jesse Jackson.
Okay, let me get invited. And if you have a non as a person who's a midget, he's born that way. So all these things, Mishana the Breeze, the Kodesh Baruch Hu was Mishana the Breeze when he created them. The other things, the Kitayim, the Sumim, the Yerosh, we're assuming that these all happened later on in life, and that's why you say Baruch Tain Emes. And that's what the Gemara is saying. The case of the boy hak that you're saying about him, Baruch Mashana Brias, he was born with such spots. Well, the person that he developed spots later, he's the one that you say Baruch Dynamis. Okay, the boss is Yalit. Tekanamdi Tony Dumiti Kidea, in that list that we had, just like the amputee wasn't born an amputee. We were talking about that he was amputated physically, surgically later on. So he too developed it on later on. Shmamina. Tanarban. And now the more repeats part of the we had already before. Haroya Pil, if you go and see an elephant, and Koif, if you see a monkey, the kifoif is a nochop says I mean monkey, a different type. Oyim Baruch Mashana Sabrias. Ra Briya is Toivis, Ilan is Toivis, Oyim Baruch Shekochle Belamai. Ah, such beautiful beauty and handsome things that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave on this world. If you see gorgeous scenery, then you can go and make such a bracha. Okay, now we get back to Mishnah. Al Haziku. Now we're finished with the Allah Chaloimis, and we're finished with all of the interesting things that we're talking about. But the next Shtikl Gemara, till the bottom, until the 10 lines on the Amud Aleph, we're going to go into mazolos and constellations and zodiac and things of that nature, which are quite challenging. We're going to go and say the Taich. We'll say the words. I can't say that I should speak for myself, that I really understand what we're going to be saying, but we will at least try to explain it in easy language as possible. So the Mishnah said that on certain things, Zikin and Zvois and Ra'omim and Brokim and all the rest, you make a bracha. Now, question is, Maizi, what is this Zikin business? I'm a Shmuel, Koich v'deshavet. Koich v'deshavet is a shooting star. Some say that means a meteor, and some say that means a comet. I don't know the difference between a meteor or a comet. I just know what Rashi says, Koich v'deshavet. I'm sorry?
It's a meteorite. That's
a meteorite. It was a meteor. That's a bigger...
I mean, yeah, but it's all the same thing. But as opposed to the comet, is a very huge
and stable, and it comes back. It orbits the sun. A meteorite, a shooting star, incinerates.
Okay, so now you know.
A meteorite is
Daniel, did you know that?
No.
A meteorite is something that incinerates as it enters the Earth's atmosphere.
Okay.
Comet is something that is orbiting the solar system around the sun.
Excellent.
A meteorite can do damage, God forbid.
Oh, yeah. Go to the museum.
Stay away from them. Stay away. Anyway, if you look at the Rashi in the middle of the Yomim, Koichav and the Shavit, Koichav, it's a star, Hayorek Achetz, which is shooting like an arrow, Birakia up in the Shemayim, Mimokam and Mokam from place to place, V'oruch Kishavit, and it looks long like a stick, like a staff, Shu Yoira, that it's shooting with, V'nira Kemoish and Poiseach Rakia, since it's shooting through the sky, it looks as if it's making a hole in the sky. So when you see such a comet, meteor, meteorite, whatever you want to call it, this shooting star, you make a bracha of Shekoich HaBrachot. So now, if you're thinking that we're struggling, V'yomer Shmuel, Nehirin Lishvid and Shmayit Yeshvid Rekia, very Shvid Adah. Thank you. It's a very, very famous memory of Shmuel, that Shmuel was a bucky in astronomy, and he said that I know the paths in Shemayim as well as I know the paths down here in Ne'erda. And everybody says, how did Shmuel know Ben Ne'erda? After all, when he was walking down the street, shouldn't he have been thinking in Torah? How does he know the difference between West End Avenue and Broadway and Amsterdam Avenue? And they say, because Shmuel was a doctor, and a doctor had to go make house visits. Home visits, so therefore he had to know all the streets. So he knew the streets in Ne'erda perfectly, and he knew the streets upstairs in Shemayim, exactly where Madison Avenue ends and where Fifth Avenue begins. He knew everything up in Shemayim. Lebar, except for Koich for the Shabbat. I have no idea what it's all about. However, says Shmuel, Ugmiri, I have a Kabbalah, over Kisla. It won't go through the mazel, the constellation of Ksil. Ksil is brought a few times in Tanakh, a constellation up in Shemayim, and if it were to go, if this, Koich v'deshavet, the E over Kisla, if it ever went through Ksil, Chorav Alma, the whole world, Chas v'Shalom, would be destroyed. So Baruch Hashem, it never goes through the Ksil. That was the statement of Shmuel. Freiti Marva Kachazin and the Avar. But we do see at times that this Koich v'deshavet does pass through the mazel of the Ksil, and Baruch Hashem, the world continues to exist. So what's Pshat? So the Avar, you don't really see the Ksil itself, you go and see the glow of the Koich v'deshavet, you think it's going through the mazel of Ksil. Really, it's going through some other mazel, some other region up in Shemayim, somewhere else. But because it glows so much, the radiance and the brilliance and the glow, it looks as if it's going through Ksil. But you're making a mistake.
That's why it says Ksil lo yabinis.
Oh, very good. Ksil yabinis ice. Beautiful. Good. Rav Huna b'Rabbi Yeshua. Now, this machloik is what Rav Huna b'Rabbi Yeshua is saying over here. Rashi learns Rav Huna b'Rabbi Yeshua is giving a brand new pshat in what Zikin is. And he says, Zikin is vilain hu de mikra. And the word the Megalgul they take out, the Goyes take out, Vilam de Makarea, Mechsi Nehoira de Rekia. Now, this is a somewhat vague reference to a Gemara Mesechtis Chagiga, where the Gemara says in Chagiga and Daf Yud Beis that there's seven Rekiam up in Shemai. And the first Rekia, the seven levels of sky. The first level is called the Viloin, second level is called the Rekia, and then after the Mo'oin and the Mochoin, etc., etc. You have seven altogether. So Vilan is the lowest one. There is a rip, a tear in this V-line, and then you can go and see the heaven right on top of it, and the Hoira, the brilliant light of the Rekia. And that's what we're referring to when we're saying Zikin in the Mishnah. Tosis, however, disagrees, because as we'll see in a moment, Rav Ashi Omar, Koich v'hu di oka mihai gisa di kisla v'chozilei chavri mehach gisa, omivis. Rav Ashi is going back on the original kasha. The original kasha was, Shmuel said that we have a Kabbalah, that if the Koich for the Shabbat goes through the Ksil, then the whole world will be destroyed. We see that it does go through the Ksil and nothing happened. So he already gave one teretz. That one teretz was the Zive, the glow passes through, and therefore it looks like it went through, but it's not true. There was really no Koich for the Shabbat that goes through the Ksil. Rav Ashi is giving an upshot. Ksil being a constellation has numerous stars. One of the stars was plucked out from that constellation. On the other side of the Ksil, another star sees that Mihach Gisav, Omivis, and it gets all Noivis. Why does it get all Noivis? Presumably it's afraid that just like my Chaver, the one star was uprooted, maybe I'm also going to be uprooted. Anyway, because of that uprooting on one side and the agitation and anxiety on the other side, Mechzi Kimandi Over, it looks like there was a Koich for the Shabbat that passed through the Ksil, but it's really not true. What you're seeing is fake news. It's just not true. Anyway, we see from this that Rav Ashi is addressing that original question. We see that the Koich for the Shabbat passes through the Kisla, and therefore Tosis says it's not Mistaver that Rav Huna b'Rei Yeshua, in middle of these two tirutzim of why, when the Koich for the Shabbat appears to go through the Kisla and the world is not destroyed, why Rav Huna b'Rei Yeshua come in the middle to give us a new pshat in Zikin and what Zikin means. And therefore, says Tosis, what Rav Huna b'Rei Yeshua is doing is he's giving a third pshat why the world doesn't get destroyed, because it's not really a Koich with the Shavit that is going through Ksil, but rather what you see is the Vilan Huda Makareya, that the lower heaven has a tear in the curtain, and you can go and see the Hoyer Dirkiya. So if you look at the top, the second choice is here on the Omid, on the right hand side, Vilan Huda Makareya, the Fio Inyan Mashma, based on the way the Gemara is structured, the Borafuna, the Taritz, to the Over Kisla, that why don't we have a problem of the Kisla passing through and the world being destroyed? It's not referring to the teretz of what zikin is. Rashi says, interestingly, that this middle Ravuna Rabbi Shua is going back on the zikin. It's not mashal like that in the Gemara, because then why do we afterwards go back to the kasha about the ksil? It should simply have been at the end. In other words, we should have given first two terutzim why the world is not destroyed when the koich for the Shabbat appears to go through the ksil. Teretz number one is because of the glow that passes through Zivei Du'Avar. Then we have the Ravashi who says it's really not a koich for the Shabbat. It's just one star is removed here and one star is agitated over there, and that's why it looks like it. Those are both terutzim on that kasha. So therefore, L'choy Rav Huna Rav Shua is also answering the same kasha by saying it's really not the ksil and it's not the koich for the Shabbat. It's just a rip in the V-line, and you see the Nehoira Drikia. Good. We continue on, second wide line. Shmuel Rami, Shmuel Asestira. I have two psukim in Tanakh. And the first pasuk says, Ksiv Oise Osh, Ksil Vikima. These are three constellations, three mazolais. Ksiv, and I have another pasuk, Oise Kima Uchsil. The Gemara is focusing on the fact that in the first pasuk, Ksil comes first, and the second pasuk, the kima, comes first. Here it says ksil v'kima, it says kima uksil. Okay, it said, why is that? The Gemara explains. If mali chamish shal ksil, when it's kaim oilum neitzima shal kima, vil mali tzina shal kima, when it's kaim oilum neichama shal ksil. What the Gemara is telling us is that these two constellations are not just constellations up there in Shemaim. Each one of these mazolis has tremendous koiches, and the koich of the ksil is that it brings down heat on this world. While Kima brings down cold on this world. And therefore, explains Rashi, that's why one pasuk, when it refers to Ksil first, is referring to the summer months, when the Ksil, the warmth of that constellation is Shoilit, while the Kima is referred to as the first and the second pasuk, because that's talking about during the winter months, when the cold is the one that's the dominating authority. And the Gemara says here that it's good that we have both of them, because either one of the two would make such terrible climate change that we would all go berserk. We'd have to pay billions of dollars to Al Gore to go and clean it all up. But Baruch Hashem, since we have the Ksil and the Kima together, they kind of neutralize one another. So Hakeit said, again, Il Mali Chamish Ksifa wouldn't be the heat of Ksil in the sky of Neitzin Shel Kima. We wouldn't be able to withstand the terrible cold of the Kima. If you think yesterday was cold, you can imagine how cold it would be without the Ksil. Via Mali Tzina Shel Kima, if you wouldn't have the cold of the Kima in the sky of Neitzin Shel Ksil, it would just be too overbearing the heat from the Ksil. Ugmiri, and we have another Kabbalah, Ilav Uktza the Akriva, the Monach ben Hardina. If it wasn't for the fact that the Uktza, that's the tail of the Akriva of the scorpion, Rashi says we're not talking about the Mazel scorpion, but rather this Akrav is the same as Kima that we were speaking about until now. That Kima, remember, that's the one that's very, very cold. If it wasn't for the fact that that scorpion of the cold Kima, the Monach ben Hardina, that it resides in the Nahar Dinah. The Nahar Dinah, the Gemara says elsewhere, is the opening to Gehenim. So that's very, very, very hot. If it wasn't for that, that Uksa the Akrav is over there. Command to have a trikal the Akrav. Whoever would go and get a sting from a scorpion, they have a chai, he wouldn't be able to live. Meaning that a scorpion's sting is able to have potent effect under very, very cold circumstances. Once you bring any warmth to that area where they had the sting, then the potency wears off and fades very quickly. So the Gemara is saying is, if we wouldn't have the benefit of the Kima being there in the Har Dinar, and therefore the Kima warms up, so to speak, so that the cold of winter, while it's cold, it's not as cold as it might have been. If it wouldn't be for that, then every time a person got a sting from a scorpion, chas v'shalom, that would be the end, because he wouldn't have any warmth to warm it up. And that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Eoiv, Hasekasher madanois kima oy moishchois ksil tefateach. What does that mean? Hasekasher madanois kima, the kima, are you going to go and are you, Eoiv, able to go and do like HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, to go and tie up the Kima? In other words, the Kima, which is the tremendous cold, are you able to restrain it and constrain it by going and tying it up? Are you able to open up the bonds or the ropes that are going and constraining and restraining the Ksil to let out its heat? So we see that one of them, the Kima, has this tremendous cold, and the Ksil has a tremendous heat, and therefore we need both of them so that the world should exist.
Balance.
Now the question should balance. Good. Frankly, when my Kima, where does the word Kima come from? Amishmul Kimeya Kochvi. The Kima, which is a mazel, has in it approximately 100 Kechavim, 100 stars. Amrila, some say the Mechanfi, the 100 stars are bunched together in one area. The Amrila, others say the Mavadran, that they are spread apart and not in one area. So we've spoken at some length about the Kima and the Ksil, but we left out poor Osh. That was, again, the second line of the wide lines. Oysa Osh Ksil Kima. Wusmete Osh. Zoktimar Mai Osh. Omer Rav Yehuda Yoisa. There's another name for Osh, it's called Yoisa. Nu Shkoyach. My Yoisa. What is Yoisa? Amri Lord, that's Zanav Tle. That's the tail of the Tle. Now, Tle is a part of the zodiac, and that's one of the 12 mazalis. And the Tle, I think in English, is called Arius or something like that.
Aries.
Yeah. The Amri law, and some say that Yoisa or Osh is not the Zonov of the Tle, but it's Reisha the Egla. It's really the head of the Egla. Egla would mean the ox or the calf, the bull. And here it's referring to Taurus. So you have Aries and Taurus. One is next to each other in the 10 constellations. Rashi reminds us that the Seder of the 12 constellations is Tle comes first. Shor is second, and then Toimim is the twins, is number three, etc., etc. So, what the Gemara is telling us is that Osh was either the final part of the Tleh, or the very beginning of the Shor, and therefore, that's why there was a suffix exactly where Osh finds itself in these 12 constellations, at the end of Tleh, or the beginning of Shor, which is kind of almost overlap one next to the other. But it's more mistava kiman the Omar that Zinav Tle, that Osh is really the end of the Tle. Why the Sivi Aish al Banea Sanche? Alma Chosra umeschazia ketarif and the tarif. What is all of this about? So we're going to see in the next few lines, this is of course very esoteric, and Ein Lano Esik bin Historis, but the Gemara is going to tell us is when Akash Baruch Hu brought the Mabel,
yes,
he went and caused water to flow violently from upstairs in Shemayim, and to be able to do so, he had to go and remove two Koichovim, two stars, in the Kima. Kima is, remember, one of the two that we just spoke about, the Kima. So that's the cold one, right?
That triggered the Mabel.
Good. So Kadosh Baruch Hu went and removed its two stars, and as a result, the waters came gushing out and came down to this world. And at the end of the Mabel, Kadosh Baruch Hu had to go and close up that hole. How did he close up the hole? He took two stars from the Osh, and he used those two stars to fill up the hole that was originally there from the two Kechavim, the two stars that had been there originally in the Kima. The obvious question everybody's going to ask is, why did Kadosh Baruch Hu just restore the two stars to their place? And the Gemara is going to ask that question shortly. But in the meantime, Ayish, that's Osh, Al Bnei Asanchem, it seeks consolation for its two missing children. Bnei means the two Kechavim. And what does it try to do? It tries to run after Kima to get its stars back. Now, the Kima, we said before, if you look at the Rashi Shel Molei Chama Shel Ksil, that's Rashi is about, I don't know, two-thirds down the Omid, Shel Molei Chama Shel Ksil. If you look at the last line of Rashi, Rashi says, Akrav Hainu Kima Umimazel Tlehu. Akrav and Kima, which are synonyms, those both are in the mazel of Tleh. Ah, that being, or Aries, as you said before. And it's therefore logical to say that Osh is at the very end, that's the Znav Tle, it's following after Kima in that same constellation of Tle. So Tle, being the larger mazel, has in the middle is Kima somewhere, and at the end you have the Osh. And the Osh is following Kima. Why? Because it wants to get back its two stars.
It's chasing it.
Oh, so that's why it makes sense. That's why the Mar says, Mestabi Kiman the Yom is Znav Tle. It's part of the Tle because the Kima is in the middle, and the Osh is in back of it, chasing and trying to run over and trying to run up and catch it. It has a tremendous nebuch. It's trying to console itself for losing its two kachah. Alma, what do we see? Chosra, it's missing. Umischazia, and you can go and tell that place where the two kachah are missing, because it looks like mischazia kitarif de tarif. Means kitarif de tarif. Rashi says that whenever you have, for instance, yeah, let's say you have a hole in a piece of metal, and you can't solder it together, you don't have anything to fill it, what you do is you go and keep on clapping all around the neighboring area to go and thin
seal
out,
right,
and so that the other parts should go and fill up the hole that's there. like top Rashi, Dovashu Choser, Ustamu Megufoy, Shasu Konus. From the goof of it itself, you try to go and close it up. It's as if you're hitting it with an anvil, with a hammer, with a gansamasa, and therefore it closes up. So getting back to Agamara, the reason why Ayish or Osh is in the Znav Kleh following the Kima, the Amrla, Havli Bonai, give me back my two stars. Shibishosh, Kodesh Baruch Hu Yishla Havli Mabli Yonim, Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to bring the Mabul, not to Shnei Kechav Mikim, he took away the two stars from Kima, the Havli Mabul Yonim, and therefore the Mabul was able to get through that opening in the Rekia. Ukishibikish the Sosman, Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to close it up, not to Shnei Kechav Mei Ayish, he took two stars from Ayish, from Osh, the Sosma, and filled it up. And that's why Ayish is missing its two stars. Why didn't the Kodesh Baruch Hu just return the original two stars from Kima? That would be logical. Because anytime you go and dig out a bar and you dig out all the earth, if you went and filled up the earth back in that same place, you'll see that it doesn't fill it up. Some magical, miraculous thing happens.
The space between the earth is now collapsed.
It's collapsed. Good. And therefore, you can't. So if I would put back the two stars, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, they wouldn't fill up the hole. Therefore, I had to go and get two new ones. The prosecutor and the defense attorney cannot be the same. So therefore, you're taking out these two kochavim to create the mabul, and now you want to stop the mabul, you can't use the same stars. Can go and create anything. Let him bring two new stars. Why do you have to go and steal it from Ayish, from Osh? Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't create any Yesh Mi'ayin. Whatever is there, but he doesn't create anything though. Osh. Don't be so upset. Eventually, you're going to get him back. Shemar b'ayish al banei asanchem. Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to lead the two banim back to Osh, and he's going to have back his two stars. Yes. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai.